Brothers and sisters, we got to understand, we need to understand that God's got all this handled. Even though its situations are scary, even though things are going on that we may not like, and even though persecution will continue to come and it will not go away, our God is in control. So even looking at the book of Revelation, we'll be looking about the things that John was shown and that he was to write down. But why was God giving this to John? Why in the world did God give these words to John to share, to simply hide it for himself? Now remember, John was on the island of Patmos when he wrote these things. He was exiled. He was in a situation where he was rejected by everybody, even the churches, even the Roman government. He was sent to Patmos to die. But let me tell you this. If you are surrendered to God and you are doing God's will, nobody can stand against you and nobody can take anything away from you as long as God's will is being fulfilled in your life. And you say, Brother Brian, I don't want God's will to be fulfilled in my life by being sent to an island where everybody hates me. I don't want to be sent to an island and exposed and everything else and exiled. I don't want to be that. If that's God's will for my life, Brother Brian, I don't want it. May I tell you, if that's God's will for my life, I want it. Do you? No, Brother Brian, I want a life of ease. I want a life of 3 meals a day. I want a life of a comfortable bed to sleep in. I want everything provided for me. That's what I want. Then go to prison. See, here's the thing. If you get everything you want, when you want, how you want, then you're in prison. Because you're a prison to your own selfish desires. And you're out of God's will. I don't like the direction this is going, Brother Brian. Do you want God's will or do you want? Do you want God's will or do you want your will? See, that's a question I've got to answer for myself. I can't answer it for you. I've got to answer it for me. And you have to answer it for you. I can't answer it for my children as much as I desperately want to. If I could somehow answer that question for them, man, I'd be the first in line to answer it for them. Yeah, they want God's will. But I can't answer that for them. You have to answer it for yourself. So let me ask you this morning. Do you want God's will in your life? If you said yes, are you willing to do what it takes to have God's will in your life? Look at Revelation. John is sharing what was given to him, and it all begins with Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, John, verse number 4, chapter 1. John says, I am writing this to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Of course, there were more than 7 churches in Asia. These are the 7 major churches in Asia, and they go in like a crescent shape. If you look in Turkey, is where this is really take. This is where the 7 churches are located. But if you look at in Turkey, it goes like in a crescent shape, and it goes from east to west. He says this is being written to those 7 churches. Now, some people say, "Well, Brother Brian, this message then is just for them." No, this message is for us. We are the church. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, this message is to me, this message is to you of what he's telling us. And this is the message. First off, grace be unto you and peace. Underline those 2 words. What does God want from us or give to us? Grace and peace. You can't have peace without grace. And when you have grace, you have peace. What is God's will for you this morning? Grace and peace. How many of you are thankful for God's grace? Whew. How many of you want peace? You can only have peace with grace. It says, grace and peace be unto you from Him. Who is Him? It describes Him. Which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. So who's He describing? Who is this grace and this peace going to come from? You can say it. We're in church. You can say His name. God. He's the only one that can give us grace and peace. Nobody else can. You can't. The government can't. Your bank account can't. It's got to be from God. And He says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He's the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto Him, who? Jesus Christ. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That's grace. He washed us from our sins in His own blood. And when you have the washing of the blood, you have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, and He has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him who, God, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, listen, God has dominion forever and ever. The world doesn't have dominion, although it may seem like it. It may seem like the world is in complete control, and it may seem like we have nothing. But may I tell you, God is in control. He has complete dominion, whether you want it or not. And if you're sitting there this morning saying, I don't believe in God, I don't care anything about God, may I tell you, you're going to one day. You're going to need Him one day, and I would rather my God have dominion than the world to have dominion. The world thinks it's got it. Did you know that we have an asteroid headed to our planet? It's headed this way. You read all about it and everybody's panicking. Oh my goodness, in the next 100 years, this asteroid's going to hit our planet. May I give you some understanding? We ain't going to be here. Matter of fact, we have asteroids hit our planet every single day. They just burn up a lot of times and just particleize. I'm not scared of no asteroids. I ain't scared of no ghosts. Why? My God has dominion. How many of you agree our God has dominion? That means outright ownership. Now I'm setting you up. Hold on. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him. What does the word every mean? All. Every eye. How many of you have two eyeballs? You're going to see Him. I love what Paul says. Every knee shall bow. Every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him. Oh my goodness. Those that put that spear inside of His side. Those that put the nails into His hands. I wouldn't want to be them. Amen. I wouldn't want to be the ones who tore His beard out. I wouldn't want to be the one that spit in His face. I wouldn't want to be the one who tried to give Him the alcohol, the gall to drink. I wouldn't want to be the one that was gambling under His cross. Would you? You are. You are. You're the one. I'm the one. My sin put Him there. But his love kept him there. While he was on the cross, I was on his mind. So are you. He could have gotten off. He could have said, come get me. I don't want this anymore. But he knew he had to die and bleed so that Trenton, you could have hope, buddy. Eighth grade. My goodness. I can't remember far back, but I remember in eighth grade I didn't like life because I didn't know who I was. But God knows you. Brother Don, you're not in eighth grade no more. But God knows you. He knows what you're dealing with. AJ, when Jesus was on the cross, you were on his mind. In spite of us, Jesus died for us. Hallelujah. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they even which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. There's going to be a lot of crying and gnashing of teeth, and a lot of people saying, no, no. You know who those people are going to be? The ones who are denying him right now. The ones who hate him. The ones who say he doesn't exist. The ones who say there is no such thing as Jesus. They're going to see him and they're going to regret every single thing they ever did. See, the world system thinks it has got it made right now. They reject him. May I even dare say, and I hope it's not true, but may I dare say there's people in this room who are rejecting him. You said there is no God by your lifestyle. You said there is no God by your mouth. May I beg you to reconsider that thought? There is a God. He is real. And he's coming back. And his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Cristo. Didn't I say that right, Brother Rodman? I get that pretty close. Jesus says the first words here. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. Now John identifies himself. He says, I, John, who also am your brother, and I'm your companion in tribulation. See, when he wrote this book, he understood that these churches were going to go through tribulation. He understands that we're facing tribulation. Right now, we're not in tribulation, but guess what? We're going to have tribulation in our churches. We're going to have troubles and persecutions. Those things are coming. He's not talking about the 7 years of tribulation. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the problems that are going to come and uprise. Churches are going to split over all kinds of things. Masks or no masks. Vaccination or no vaccinations. Carpet or flooring. Blue or green. Stupid things that we separate over. But he says, you're going to have tribulation. But he says, guess what? I'm your brother in tribulation. Because what I'm going through, you're going to go through. That's what he says. And then he says, I am your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus is the one helping me through this. Now stop fooling around. Stop playing over there. Stop playing over here. He says, there's going to be a problem, but I'm going with you right there. He says, I was on the isle that is called Patmos, and why was I here, he says, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was exiled because of who he stood for and who he stood in. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to go to Patmos? Are you ready to go to Patmos? Well, Brother Brian, I don't even know where Patmos is. How many of you could identify Patmos on a map right now? Not many of us. Now, wait a minute. Then what do you mean, are you ready to go to Patmos? Patmos may look like family rejection to you. Thanksgiving dinner where everybody rejects you because you're standing for Christ. Your workplace, your school, which starts tomorrow. You stand for Christ. They may put you on the Isle of Patmos. Are you ready for it? Brother Brian, what would send me there? You stand for Christ, you're going to go to Patmos. Are you ready for it? He says, that's why I was put here. He says, all these things took place. And he says, verse number 10, I was in the Spirit. I love that word Spirit. Underline that Spirit word. Circle it. Highlight it. You know who that's talking about? The Holy Spirit. You can't be in the Spirit unless the Spirit is in you. And if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Spirit is inside of you. And if you're not in the Spirit, then you don't belong to the Spirit. You're not saved, and you need to trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, so the Spirit can come live inside of you. When the times of tribulation come, when the times of persecution come, you're going to need the Spirit living inside of you. And if you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, you can handle the tribulations and trials that are coming. But if you don't have Him, you haven't got a chance. I forget who I was talking to this week. They said, Brother Brian, all the deaths they've been encountering, and they looked me in the eye and they said, you know what? I don't know how people who don't know Christ handle all this. What gives somebody the strength to endure the deaths of loved ones? What gives somebody the strength to endure the problems of life? Walking away from the gravesite or the coffin. What gives somebody the strength? It's got to be the Spirit of God. It's got to be. Do you have Him? Do y'all have Him? If you don't, why not? Oh, I can make it on my own. I can make it on my own. I'm my own God. Wake up! You ain't God. There's only two things in life I'm wholly 100% sure of. There is a God, and you and I aren't Him. How many of you are glad I'm not God? Whew, yeah, I'm an ugly looking God then, amen? Zap you if I was God. I'm glad you ain't God, because I'd have been toast already right now. I was in the Spirit, John said, on the Lord's day. Now, it's not talking about Sunday necessarily. We're not sure exactly what day. He could have been on a Sunday, which is the Lord's day. In other words, this was the day that God intended for John to get this message. The Lord's day oftentimes refers to the judgment that's coming. And that's what it could be referring to. But it also could be referring to a Sunday morning. Either one. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. This wasn't that small, still voice. This wasn't, Brian. This wasn't, Jerry. It was a trumpet sound. I can't play a trumpet. I can't even carry a tune in a bag. Amen, Danny? Amen. But the voice was so loud, it was so distinguishable, that it sounded like a trumpet. John heard the voice that drowned out everything else. Remember, he was surrounded on the island of Patmos by people who were at hard labor, people who were suffering. He was surrounded in a place that had the waves washing upon it and the sounds of sorrows and pain all around him. But when he heard the voice of Jesus Christ, it drowned out everything else. Tell me, do you hear the voice of Jesus Christ right now? Brother Brian, I sometimes don't. Sometimes I hear the voice of my friends. Sometimes I hear the voice of my boss or my family or my circumstances. Sometimes I hear the voice of my fear. Sometimes I hear my own voice. It's time for us to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And you know the great thing is, young people? He wants to talk to you. Older people, he wants to talk to you, mom and dad. Do you want to hear it, though? Now, why in the world would God want to talk to John, an exile on an island that was forgotten about? Why in the world would God want to do that? Same reason he wants to talk to you and me. That same God is the same God that's here right now speaking to you and speaking to me. Do you want to hear it? And this is what he said. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm glad he didn't say Delta and Epsilon. Then for those of you who don't speak Greek, he explains what that means. The first and the last. And what you see, John, I want you to write it in a book. And I want you to send it to seven churches were in Asia. And then he names them. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now this is taking place while John is standing here, and this is Jesus speaking to him from his back. How does John know that this is the voice of Jesus? How does he know? Because he had been with him. He saw him die. And when he went to the tomb, he was gone. But you know what? He saw him that very day. And he saw him on the shores of Galilee. And he heard the voice of Jesus say this, John, you do what I'm going to tell you to do. So what gave John the power to keep on and keeping on? Because he heard the voice of God. So who is God, through Jesus, speaking to today? John? Yeah. The seven churches? Yeah. Victory Baptist Church? Yeah. Brian Schuler? Nah, he didn't like him. Yeah. He's speaking to you. Miss Oma? He's speaking to you. Dale Hogue? He's definitely speaking to you. And I'm glad about it. But are you willing to listen? Are you willing to listen? Praise God that he's still speaking. So do you want your will? Or you want his will? You want the island of Patmos? Or you want the lap of luxury? You want him to speak to you? Or do you want him to ignore you? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. How about you? How about you? Let's stand together. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Miss Shirley's coming. Here's an opportunity for you. We're going to have a closing prayer in just a few moments, Brother Terry. Terry, if you'll do me a favor in just a minute when I'm done, if you'll put the announcements back on the board so I can kind of cover those announcements, have them ready to go. But Miss Shirley's going to begin to play. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's an opportunity for you to do as God's told you to do. Right where you're standing, you can talk to him. You can come down to the altar. Whatever God is telling you to do, you must do. So what are you going to do about it? Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Lord, some of us want to be in the lap of luxury. Some of us are so scared of saying yes to you and saying no to the world. May you encourage us, convict us, strengthen us to say yes to you. I want your will. And I pray that we all do today. Hear our cry to you, Father. Answer according to your will and your timing. In Christ's name I pray. Let's take a few moments. Michelle is going to play. You just respond however God wants you to respond today.